Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So as I said in the opening, the reality is I think if you're a Democratic politician, if you're a voter, find a picket line. Find a picket line, find a friend, walk with that person who's on strike, and get that master's class in working class economics. Find out whether, don't talk, don't say a word, listen. Get out of the silo, get on the picket line, and you know, walk shoulder to shoulder with somebody. To me, that's the advice of this moment. Last week it was what it was. Going forward, we need to reconnect the working class, because as I said, it is the largest multicultural, multiracial, multigender coalition on this planet. All of us have to work. All of us need our paycheck, health care, retirement security, all of the things that we get from our jobs, and we need to make those better. And here to share some thoughts on, well, part of the messaging coming out of last week's elections and what we also need to be doing. I've asked my good friend Jeff Hauser to come talk with us. Jeff is the executive director of the Revolving Door Project at the Center for Economic and Policy Research. He's got a new opinion piece out, a message to Democrats ahead of 2022. Make corporations your enemy. Jeff, thanks for taking time for us.
Every time, Rick.
Make corporate America your enemy? Is that the message we're going for right now?
I think people are angry. Working people are angry. There are more strikes than there have been in a long period of time because workers are sick of being taken advantage of. You see a lot of anger about inflation, and Republicans would have you believe that that has something to do with the American Rescue Plan, when in reality, we are seeing price gouging at an extreme level as corporations take advantage of the tumult in the wake of the pandemic. There is price fixing going on. There is systematic underinvestment in basic infrastructure, including at the ports. And there are lots of consequences. There's the meatpacking industry is rife with anti-competitive behavior. I mean, basically just price fixing by meatpackers. You're seeing this up and down the economy. You're seeing consumers angry. You're seeing working people angry. And in the absence of a story coming from the Democratic Party about who's causing this problems, who's causing the problems and how Democrats can fix them, you know, the stories coming from Republicans are going to be more appealing. Some story beats no story.
No, and what they've been doing, blaming the truck drivers, all the truck drivers' fault, so we need automated vehicles. That seems to be the latest moronic answer. No, what you need is we need to hold corporate America, need to hold them accountable. And we need to pay truck drivers better so that more people will go to the jobs. Just a thought.
Yeah, I mean, at the ports, you have the expectation is that truck drivers will wait around on their own dime up and until the congestion there allows them an opportunity to get a load. I mean, that's ridiculous. But it is because corporate America has created this just-in-time system in the economy where there's no resiliency. If any little thing goes wrong, the whole thing breaks down. And honestly, it's kind of amazing we haven't had one of these situations before. There have been isolated examples where, like, all of the saline bags used in hospitals are made in Puerto Rico. And so Puerto Rico has, you know, a hurricane, and there are, like, repercussions for the American healthcare system. So this is not out of nowhere, but at this scale, this is obviously new. There is bad behavior going on. And rather than the public message out of Washington be Biden and Democrats in disarray on legislation, it'd be great that there'd be some storytelling going on about the Biden administration doing something about the problem, finding some of the villains, letting everyone know about them, letting people sink their teeth into a story about corporate greed. Because I think we all know that when there are rapid price increases, corporate greed is at the heart of it.
Absolutely. And look, we saw during the pandemic, from the beginning of the pandemic till now, our 745 certified USDA certified billionaires, they pocketed a cool, what, $2.1 trillion? Because look, they're the ones making out because of this pandemic. And now in your piece, you write, if Democrats refuse to fight for the people will seek fighters elsewhere. This is something I've been saying for, you know, for years. The Democrats will maybe hold your coat in a street fight, but they're not going to ball up their digits and get in there and mix it up. I think right now, more than ever, we need Sherrod Browns. We need Tim Ryans. We need people who are going to ball up the digits and get out there and start throwing some punches.
Yeah, and we also need Merrick Garland to actually do his job. I mean, because some of this is that there is illegality going on. And illegality, when you have structural problems in the economy, the illegality is not at the level of the ordinary person. It's at the level of the CEO and the C-suite, the people who run corporate America, that they need to know that the government is watching and is looking to see if any laws or regulations are being broken. My suspicion is they are. Like, obviously, people are entitled to due process. So if I'm wrong and it all checks out, good, that's good. But I want the transportation department focused on what's going on at the ports. I want to see what's going on. And are trucking companies intentionally not ramping up supply so that they can reap higher benefits that don't go down to the trucker level? But somebody is probably making money off the scarcity of everything, from freight rail to trucking to the ability to get container ships loaded off at docks.
No, I mean, you see it all the time. I mean, there are drivers at the port who are saying, look, there's all these dollies, there's all these containers, there's all this stuff going on. And here are hundreds of rigs just sitting, waiting for something. And this is, you're right, this is, there's something afoot here. And what, well, you know, what the right would have you believe is, well, it's those working people. Because we're in a moment, Jeff, where strikes are happening, where worker militancy is increasing. And the media is eating it all up. I'm waiting for that moment when they flip the script and say, look, the reason all these shortages, the reason the kids can't get G.I. Joe with the kung fu grip, it's those workers, Jeff.
I mean, the ironic thing is that Larry Summers, the famous economist and former U.S. Treasury Secretary under Bill Clinton, he has been going around giving the press quotes that they love to use, blaming inflation on Joe Biden, the rescue plan, because he's just sick and tired of not being in office. Like, this is the first Democratic president since Jimmy Carter that he doesn't have a big job working for.
And thank goodness.
Right. And, you know, that's actually, and him being out of a job is one of Revolving Door Project's greatest accomplishments. We're very proud of that. But so he's going around talking about inflation. And the ironic thing is that a lot of what's going on in the American supply chain right now is the globalization of the late 1990s under Bill Clinton. The problems of that are coming home to roost. Like, everything in the world is so complicated to produce. There are so many fractions of pennies being saved by shipping some stuff to China and then from China to Vietnam and to Mexico and to Europe. And it's not that we shouldn't have any trade or we don't want to see working people across the globe do better, but it is such a needlessly complicated system. It also has, you know, climate implications if, like, everything involves transportation halfway and around and back the world. But the basic idea is America is not self-sufficient in almost anything right now.
Right.
And so if China sneezes, America, like, you know, gets a serious health consequence. And I'm not making a reference to COVID-19. I'm talking about the economy. Like, when a random port in China shuts down, the ripple effects across this country are just extravagantly significant, because we are importing every single basic thing you need. Like, this is not a way to run a modern country.
No, it's not. And it's something that, you know, I've been saying, you know, for a while now, that we need to rebuild our manufacturing. And this is where the bipartisan infrastructure bill, I think, is important, but also the Build Back Better plan and more. I mean, we need a national security level strategic plan to rebuild manufacturing, not just on, you know, PPE and that kind of stuff, and not just military stuff, but just the things that we need each and every day.
I mean, we need to be able to make solar panels at scale in the United States so we can both address climate change and create jobs. Then we also have to have a government that is supportive of workers to make sure that green jobs are actually labor jobs, good jobs, in the way that has been promised in the past. And so there obviously are some difficulties right now where there's, I think it's Rivian is the electric truck manufacturer that's not producing, it's not unionized. Like, we need these jobs to be green jobs in America, union jobs, and we need them now. Because right now, you can't even bring solar panels into the country. It's just like so messed up that America is not at the cutting edge of being able to take on the dual crises of our time, economic inequality and climate.
No, and what we end up doing is we end up going to the polls and voting on some stupid theory that everyone thinks is happening but isn't happening because it's critical about race or whatever that nonsense in Virginia was. And you voted for a guy who was literally a union buster, fired unionized workers just for profit. And you go, this is who you voted for? Because, well, he hates the same people, I guess? Is that the theory?
Well, I mean, first off, Glenn Youngkin is as bad or worse than what you've said. I mean, I think like the opposition research that was not adequately deployed against Youngkin is amazing. McAuliffe ran a flailing campaign headed up by a retread from the Pete Buttigieg campaign, who has a history of underperforming. And they ran a mess of a campaign, but there were some real difficulties because Carlyle and the rapacious private equity firm that Youngkin ran, A, he didn't even run it very well. He actually got ran out of Carlyle once he got the big job. He didn't last very long because he was not actually good at being a vampire, which is like, I don't know which would be better, if you were good at being a vampire or bad at it. But McAuliffe couldn't go after him hard because McAuliffe had a significant personal investment in Carlyle. Now we have a better governor in New Jersey who's done a pretty good job in Phil Murphy, but he also is himself a Goldman Sachs alum, which, you know, he's done, you know, pretty well in terms of his policies for somebody with that background. But that also further, you know, eroded his ability to tell a populist story. But the basic thing is we need to tell interesting stories. And we're not always going to be able to tell a narrative about the big economic forces in the country, because that's not, that is too theoretical, that's too abstract. But what you can do is run the government to identify who are the villains, what are the corporations misbehaving, and then drill down on the examples that are representative of the broader case and are intelligible to people,
right,
and find the example of, here is a medical manufacturer that is doing this, and here are some kids who are suffering as a consequence, and here are some workers in this plant, and like telling, like going in deep and then figuring out, you know, and he bought a Ferrari, the owner of this company. We go in, tell a story that can be, each day you're finding out new stuff, it's being shared on social media. We need to be creating villains. And honestly, we need some villains who are smart enough to punch back. Because you know who has been making no news in the last several months? Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell has allowed all the news out of Washington to be Democrats in disarray.
Yep.
Because Democrats are actually talking about popular policies, it is Mitch McConnell's goal to have no conversation about policy. He wants the policy, it to be all about process. And then they have the right-wing echo chamber that talks about these crazy cultural issues, these made-up threats to America. So they have a negative story. They have Trump mainlining hate to the far right while Trump is taken off of Facebook and Twitter and is not being covered by the mainstream media. So normal people don't see Trump. The crazies get a ton of Trump.
Yeah.
McConnell stays out of his own way. And all people hear is these made up stories on the right and Democrats fighting with each other. That is a recipe for continued disaster.
No, I'm right there with you. But here's the interesting thing. And I love your piece about making, you know, corporate America the enemy in this moment, because they are. A lot of the bad stuff is happening there. But I also see Republicans kind of moving in that direction. Marco Rubio and that crowd kind of saying the exact same thing that you're saying, but just from a little bit different perspective.
Yeah, I mean, like, the polling is really clear. And if we had a conversation about rapacious greed, that would be good. And there are, like, constant stories in history about FDR had a war on inflation. FDR ran price controls during which I'm not sure, I'm not saying they can get through in 2021, but he had Harry Truman running an investigation into contracting to supply World War II to make sure that none of the contractors were corrupt and getting illegal, making money that they didn't deserve. And that's why Harry Truman became vice president and ultimately president, was that he was going after corporate greed. He was going after who was excessively raising prices.
Yep.
Even Nixon did this kind of stuff. And that's part of why he got reelected by the margins that he did.
Yeah. Well, the Truman Commission, you're absolutely right. It was one of those things. And I've been calling for that. And I've also been calling for the next TR. Where's the next Teddy Roosevelt? We need a trust buster. We need someone to break up these massive monopolies. Amazon, I'm sorry, too big. We've got to do something about these giant corporations who seem to have so much outweighed power.
And that's, I mean, honestly, that is one of the areas where Biden has excelled and wildly exceeded our expectations. It's just unfortunately a little early. So right now we have as the chair of the Federal Trade Commission, a woman, Lina Khan, who is literally enemy number one for Amazon. There is no person they fear or loathe more than Lina Khan, who, while a law student, wrote one of the most influential articles written by in the area of law in the 21st century about Amazon and its rapaciousness. There is a very strong populist trust buster that's been nominated and is about to get confirmed to be the head of the antitrust division at the Justice Department. We need another vote on the third member of the Federal Trade Commission to restore democratic control there. But I think we're going to start seeing that. And the funny thing is, Lina Khan got like 26 Republican votes to confirm. I believe Rubio and a bunch of people who I disagree with on almost everything, but they're reading the moment also. And they know that mega large corporations are not popular. And so there is a bipartisan opportunity here. And so hopefully Biden will do everything necessary to keep this going, to empower his trust busters, yep, and then start creating some real violence between the government and the lawbreakers.
There you go. Jeff, I appreciate the time. The piece, A Message to Democrats Ahead of 22, Make Corporation Your Enemies, written by Jeff Hauser. Jeff's the executive director of the Revolving Door Project there at the Center for Economic and Policy Research. Jeff, as always, appreciate the time, man.
It was good. It was good talking to you.
Good stuff, Jeff Hauser. Let's take a quick break right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.